today. We start a brand new series entitled From the Cradle to the Crown. Christmas is all about Jesus, isn't it? Can I get an amen on that today? Come on, somebody. Yeah, Christmas is all about Christ. Pray for me this morning. I've had a little cold all week. You can probably tell my voice is a little down this morning. So I'm going to do my best to give you all I got, okay? And God's worth it. So thank you for being here. Merry Christmas, by the way. Yeah, Merry Christmas, man. It is Christmas season, and we're starting this series, and we're walking through the book of Isaiah. We're going to look at selected passages in Isaiah, and what's so awesome is, like, Christ, His coming, and His death and resurrection, even in the book of Isaiah, were foretold hundreds of years before He ever came. It's such a miracle to see the prophetic fulfillment of Christ and all that He, all the prophecies He did fulfill. It's miraculous to see how God intervened. By the way, aren't you glad that God intervened in the middle of our junk? I mean, come on now. I mean, that's what, yeah, come on, give it up, man. That's what it's all about. That's what Christmas is all about. We also said this morning, I was telling our worship team, you know, the Christmas means the devil's a loser. Come on, somebody. I mean, he's losing, man. I mean, God will go to any length to destroy the work of the devil in humanity and in our life. And we see this picture. We're going to see it today. We're in Isaiah chapter 9 today, by the way, looking at verses 1 through 7, one of those famous prophetic passages in the book of Isaiah. But we see this juxtaposition between that past tense, He came. Aren't you glad Jesus came? I mean, He came. Emmanuel, God with us. But you have that juxtaposition of He's coming, right? And this coming kingdom. Aren't you glad that Jesus is going to come one day and eradicate sin forever? And His kingdom is a real physical kingdom that's going to come to earth. But His kingdom now is anywhere He's king. Wherever He is king of someone's heart, that's where the kingdom of God is. It's His church. It's His people now displaying His glory and declaring His goodness on the earth. And so today's message I've entitled, you ready? The best is yet to come, isn't it? Come on now. The best is yet to come. Christmas is such an inspiring time for us because it reminds us that no matter how dark it is, no matter how hard it gets in our society, but also in our personal lives as we do life day in and day out in the waiting between the salvation and the coming kingdom, in that waiting, we're doing life. And it's great to know we have that hope. The best is yet to come. Whenever I thought about that title, The Best Is Yet to Come, I got to thinking about the best stuff about Christmas. So, I mean, we're just going to take a little straw poll this morning. So if these are your favorite things or some of your favorite things, just slip your hand up and say, hey, that's us, right? What's some of the best things about Christmas? What about Christmas trees? Who likes trees? Christmas trees. I love Christmas trees. By the way, we'll talk about the Christmas tree on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. The story of the gospel is right there in the Christmas tree. Pretty cool deal that you can share with your kids and grandkids too as you're, you know, before you open gifts and all that kind of stuff. Christmas trees. What about lights? How many of you like to just go straight up redneck? I'm going through all the light shows. Like I'm driving through the lights, walking around the river, seeing all the lights, just loving it, right? How many people keep their lights up like all year long? I mean, not very many. Okay, good. How many of you keep it up like past Christmas, all the way through New Year a little bit, through the New Year? Yeah, multiple folks. Anybody keep your Christmas tree up past the New Year? Anybody do that? My wife has an aunt that will start putting her Christmas tree up in like July, right? It's kind of like Hallmark, like Christmas in July, like watching the movies. I mean, that's us. We love it. So trees, lights. What about time off? Who wants some time off up in here? Yes. That's a wonderful part of Christmas, isn't it? What about good food? You like the food at Christmas? Good stuff? Oh, man, I love all the baked goods and just, you know, all the traditional stuff. What about family time together, right? All about family. Yeah, enjoy your family time together. For some people, maybe for you, some of you here, that whole family thing can be hard at Christmas. And maybe you came from a broken home or you have a broken family. Isn't it good to know that Jesus came into the world through an unwed teenage mother? Come on, somebody. I mean, that's how He entered the world. And so as the world looked at Jesus' family, they said, how dysfunctional. When it was actually God's blessing to mankind. So Christmas just kind of blows open our boxes too, doesn't it? It just obliterates them. It says, no, all that stuff of appearance and things and what we call successful in this world may not actually be true in God's economy. So family time. What about the presents? Come on, gifts. Where are my kiddos at? I got some kids in the room. And some grandmas in the room. Like, I'm in on some presents. Yeah, hey, love giving gifts and receiving gifts at Christmas. What about ugly sweaters? I got any ugly sweater fans in the room? Ugly sweaters? You don't want to admit it, but you know you all love it. Come on now. You know you all love a good ugly sweater. We've got multiple around our house. And ugly sweaters. What about Christmas music? Who likes Christmas carols? Like Christmas carols? Yeah. Love Christmas music. What about, come on ladies, what about shopping? How many of you like it? Yeah. Like the shopping? I know it's huge crowds at Christmas, but it's kind of fun. Just kind of to get out and do that and be a part of the crowd, you know, one time a year, if you will. The shopping. What about Christmas movies? Christmas movie fans? Right in the house, we love all the Christmas classics at our house, and so much that we look at, and a lot of those things I pulled from an article that said what are the best things about Christmas, and sadly, whenever you think of Christmas or our culture, our society talks about Christmas, Jesus is rarely, if ever, mentioned, isn't he? But the truth is, again, Christmas, and this, I know this is cliche in the church, but it's so important we remember this. Children of God, at Christmas time, may we never forget Christmas is all about Jesus. And the greatest traditions that we pass at Christmas time to our kids and our grandkids is the gospel. It's Jesus. It's Luke 2. It's Matthew 1 and 2. You know, it's John chapter 1. It's Isaiah 7 and 9, 11 and 53 in these passages in the Old Testament. I mean, that's the greatest gift that God gave to us and that we give to our families during this season is to remind one another that Christmas really is all about Jesus. And Isaiah chapter 9 here this morning, Isaiah's writing and he tells us again, the best is yet to come. Christmas means the best days are always in front of us because Jesus is coming again. He came, but he's also coming. And that's what Christmas is all about. Let's look together, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. If you don't have your Bible, the verses are on the screen where you can read along with us from there. It says here, but there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. Does Galilee sound familiar? Come on, children of God. So what's he saying here? Let me give you just some quick context before we read the rest. Zebulun and Naphtali, Galilee is the northernmost part of Israel. It's right by the Sea of Galilee. And when he says here that in the previous days that it was a land of contempt, well, it was Zebulun and Naphtali, that northern part of Israel, that first was conquered and went into exile in judgment because of God's judgment. But it also, in this school, it's also the place where Jesus would begin his earthly ministry. The same place where judgment first came, it's the same place where the Messiah would be born and would do his ministry. Also, Galilee. Why is that significant? Jesus wasn't born in Jerusalem, right? Now, he was birthed in Bethlehem, but he was raised in Nazareth, in Galilee. He was known as a Nazarene, a Galilean. And so, what does that mean? Well, that was the area that had the largest population of Gentiles within Israel's boundaries. And so, this is important. What it's saying is that Jesus came for everybody. Aren't you glad Jesus is for everybody? Come on now. And that's also what Christmas is about. He didn't just come for the Jewish people, God's original chosen people. Their job was to bring the law of God into the world and to declare the goodness of God to the world. But they failed in that. And as a result, God has raised up this thing now called the church, this body called the church. And God has given us now that same message and that same mission to declare his goodness. Okay? And there will be a great revival amongst Orthodox Jewish people in those last days before Jesus comes again. But in these days that we're in, we're called to tell the world. The gospel's for everybody. Christmas means the gospel is for all nations. So he goes on to say in verse 2, let's keep reading. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Again, keep in mind, some 700 years or so before Christ came. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as when as they are glad when they divide the spoil. It's been said that the devil is all about subtraction and division. Aren't you glad that our God's about addition and multiplication? Come on, somebody. That's what our God is about bringing people together in love under the banner in the name of Jesus Christ, not dividing people as we see in our world today. And it says here in verse 4, for the yoke of his burden, the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For unto us, in verses 6 and 7 are those famous, that famous two verses really that we think about in this passage. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name, we sang this morning, the beautiful name of Jesus, right? His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. Right? There's the coming. Right? He came, he's coming. And there will be no end to the increase of his government or peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Father God, today, send your Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts. Help us right now just to hit the pause button with all the busyness of this season as we move into Christmas season. Help us to just hit pause and to take time to reflect upon your word and your goodness. And also to be convicted and transformed and changed by you. We're grateful for this truth that Jesus, because you came, we can be rescued from our sin. Mankind now has the opportunity to know you. And Father, also Christmas means, Jesus, you are coming again to set up your kingdom here. And so the best days are yet to come. Today, Father, I pray also you'd inspire us and encourage us by your Holy Spirit and by the teaching and preaching of your word. And Jesus, it's in your powerful name we pray all these things. Amen. Amen. The best is yet to come. Have you believe that this morning? Come on, testify. Yes, best is yet to come. It really is. In days when we see unprecedented obstacles and hardship and division and all these things we see, there are also incredible opportunities in front of us. And we have the great joy and opportunity to speak of the hope that we have in Christ. That's what Christmas is all about. The best is yet to come. First of all, in this passage, we see Isaiah says that light will conquer darkness. The best is yet to come. What does that mean? He tells us here, light will conquer darkness. Now, what is light? Light is synonymous in the scripture with truth and righteousness, isn't it? Truth, righteousness, light shone upon a dark world. It's representative also of the holiness and the goodness of God himself. I think about this. 1 John chapter 1. Verses 5 through 7, it says, this is the message we have heard and we proclaim to you, that God is, what? God is light. It says in 1 John chapter 1. So God is light. It's an expression of his very nature and character. And in him there is no darkness at all. Nothing on this earth that is evil or wicked or sinful can be blamed on God. Can I get an amen on that today? That's of humanity, of our own free choices, and of the devil and his work behind the scenes in this world. And so God is light. Not only that, didn't Jesus say in John chapter 8, I am the what? Light of the world. That's why we put all the lights up around our Christmas trees and hang all these lights at Christmas. Don't miss the significance. It's because we're celebrating the truth of God, the righteousness of God, the goodness of God, the person of Jesus. And so light, if God is light, then again, darkness is evil. It's sin. It's death. It's the devil. So in other words, Christ or Christmas means light has come. And all of these statements, by the way, if you're a child of God, all these statements this morning, four statements concerning this idea, the best is yet to come, are all in the future tense. But you can also put them in past tense. Aren't you glad that God's light has already conquered darkness in your life? Come on, child of God. Now, hey, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how depressing life gets, and it does. Come on, somebody. That's real. No matter how anxious you get in life, no matter how much struggle there is, listen, light has come. There is hope. There's truth. No matter how dark it gets in our world, all the lies and the misinformation and misrepresentation of God and of his word, light has come. There is truth in Christ and in him alone. And so Jesus is the truth. Isn't that what he said? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by what? Me. It's a light. As children of God, we are told to walk in the light. Did you know that? We're told to walk in the light. 1 John chapter 1, that same passage where he says God is light. He says there, if we walk in darkness. Now listen closely. If the pattern of my life is darkness, and I enjoy the darkness, he says then the truth is not in you, and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he's saying. You don't have fellowship with Christ. But if we walk in the light, walk, right, one step at a time in God's truth, in his righteousness, not perfection, but a direction of life, pursuing Jesus, then we have the blood of his son, it says, cleanses us from all sin. And we have, listen to this, fellowship with one another. It is truth and trust whereby the relationship with one another is built. Isn't that right? And so in Jesus, when we walk in the light, he also brings us together in peaceful relations within the body of Christ as well. So walk in the light. Walk in God's truth. That we're called to walk in his truth and his righteousness. But also we're called to shine the light, aren't we? In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said it like this, right? This little light of mine, right? Come on now. I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, right? I'm going to let it shine, let it shine. You remember that? As kids, have you remember that song? Let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bush. There, hey, there's a handful of you that learned that growing up, right? Oh, no, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bush, right? Oh, no. I'm going to let it shine, right? And so that's what we're called to do. It's let our light shine. And he says there in Matthew 5, let the world see your good works. We reach the world for Christ with our works and our words. But so many Christians right now are focused more on our words. Some of them a little vitriolic, maybe a little critical, a little Facebook rant, a little social media, tussle. And we think that's how we're going to reach the world. Friends, we don't reach the world by words of condemnation. We reach the world for Christ with the message of hope. Yes, we're sinners and we need Jesus. But aren't you glad that light has come? Come on, somebody. And so light, so shine your light. Let the love of God and the peace of God flow from you to others, whether they agree with you or not. And so that's what we're called to do, shine the light. When you think about shining the light, it reminds me of the story of Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin, at one point, when he was in Philadelphia, he proposed to the leaders in Philadelphia, hey, we need street lamps here. We need to set these street lamps that we light and all this kind of deal so that we can see clearly at night on our streets. It will be much safer for all of our population. So we need street lights. Many of the leaders pushed back on him and said, no, I don't know that we need that. Don't need to spend the money. Don't need to invest in that. We'll be okay. What did Benjamin Franklin do? Well, he didn't gather a group of people on the corner and start protesting or campaigning or raising money for his cause. History tells us that he literally just, he hung a lantern outside his own house. And every night he would go out there and polish that glass off, trim the wick, and he would light his own lamp. And as people began to, those who were walking by his house, as they began to see how beneficial it was, how much safer they felt in that light, slowly but surely other individuals just started putting those lanterns up themselves. And that's how the city of Philadelphia ended up getting street lamps. The moral of the story is, listen to me, quit telling everybody else to light their lamp. Just put yours up. Come on now. Y'all with me today? Let's just put ours up. The love and the hope of Jesus. Let's just speak of Christ. Let's speak of hope in Him. Let's invite others to know Him. Let's love people and be kind and courteous in this culture, right? Let's just put our lamp up. And so you put your lamp up and God will use it. I promise you He will. And you'll be amazed how one at a time people's lives will start changing as you shine the light of works and as those opportunities come, and they do, your words of God's of the gospel of Jesus and of grace too. Okay? So light has conquered darkness, hello, and will conquer darkness. Secondly, let's keep moving. If you're with me, say amen. Joy will conquer sadness. Isn't that good news? Didn't Jesus tell us, or John, under the inspiration of the Spirit in the book of Revelation, says in the last days there'll be no more crying, no more death, no more pain when Jesus comes and sets up His eternal kingdom here. And so joy will conquer sadness forever. That's a part of the message of Christmas. Isaiah writes prophetically here about the coming bright future in Christ's kingdom. When he says, the Lord will multiply the nation. He has increased her joy. Speaking in past tense language, but it's future tense consummation. So in God's economy, what He had already purposed was going to be fulfilled. He had already purposed it before Jesus ever came. Before the foundation of the world, God's plan was to save mankind. Was to send His Son so that we could have hope. Multiplication here, it speaks obviously of increase and of blessing, doesn't it? So in Jesus, we are blessed, we're provided for, we're healed. We are forgiven. We have wisdom. All these things in Jesus. But it also carries the idea of multiplying the nation, carries the idea of now. Listen, this is open to the Gentiles. It's open to all nations. Again, Isaiah is writing to an initial Jewish context, but this word's for us today. And he's saying God's multiplied the nation. This is for everybody. That's always been God's plan. And so joy here, he says, as in the joy of harvest. The joy of harvest is the joy of seeing all of your labor and all of your toil produce a crop. And so, listen, children of God, no matter how hard it gets, aren't you glad that there is a harvest of righteousness to come? Come on now. And serving God in this world is hard at times. Don't buy into the lie that when you come to Jesus, everything's going to be easy, and it's going to be comfortable, and everybody's going to like you, and everybody's going to agree with you. That's not how it works. In fact, didn't they nail our Messiah to the cross? And by the way, it's my sin and your sin that nailed Him there too, wasn't it? And so, isn't that what happened to Jesus? And He tells us the same thing. He says, if you want to follow after Me, take up your cross and come follow after Me. And so, but that sadness, that difficulty, that hardship in this life will be overcome by joy forever because of Jesus. And He says here, where does that joy come? It comes in knowing and seeing the yoke of our burden is broken. The rod of the oppressor is destroyed. So those things in your life which you are enslaved to, or you feel enslaved to, sins, addictions, habits, actions and attitudes of life. Jesus in Christ, those things are already broken if you're a child of God. Isn't that good news today? You already have victory. All we have to do is appropriate that victory. And I don't mean that to sound like it's easy, because it's not. We have to learn to depend upon the Lord, depend upon His Spirit, live in prayer and in His Word. But ultimately in Christ, the war has already been won for our salvation. And that's where we get our joy. The rod of the oppressor has been broken today. Isn't that great news? On May the 8th, 1945, President Truman announced that the war in Europe, World War II, that the war in Europe was over. And he announced that the end of the war in Europe had happened, right? VE Day. Then later, August the 14th, 15th time frame, but on August the 14th, our time, 15th overseas, he said, listen, the victory has been accomplished in Japan as well. And when both of those announcements were made, there it meant millions of people flooded to the streets, especially in our large cities in America, and began to celebrate that the Nazis had been defeated, right? Well, friends, listen to me. Christmas is our ticker tape parade to stand and declare the devil has been defeated. Listen, there is no more discouragement. We don't have to live depressed. We don't have to live sad and busted up. We can have joy in Christ. And I know those things are real every day. I know for some people, those are real deep struggles. But you need to know today that there are resources in Christ and in His church and in His people to walk in and to have real joy. Joy. He wants to destroy. And so, good question. He wants to destroy all those strongholds in us. What's keeping you bound up this Christmas season? What are you bound to? What are you enslaved to that is destroying your life, your family, your marriage, your walk with God? What are you bound to? In Christ, that the slavery to sin and those chains of sin have been broken in His name. And so today, come to Him and rejoice in that victory. Confess that sin once again and say, Jesus, here it is. But I know You've conquered this, and You're going to help me walk in victory here. That's what Christmas is. Another thing that Christmas is all about is victory over sin and victory over death and the devil. So joy will conquer sadness. Number three, let's keep moving. Also, we see here peace will conquer madness. How many of you need a little peace this Christmas season? Come on now, testify. Yeah, I'm with you. Chasing kids, doing life, doing church, in the culture we live in, it's not easy. But he tells us here, peace will conquer madness. Over the past 3,400 years, historians tell us that the world has had less than 300 years of peace. Did you realize that? So that's less than 10% of basically recorded history. We see peace across our world. In the 20th century alone, there were over 108 million people who died in wars. Did you realize that? In the 1900s alone. Over 108 million people killed in wars. There are over 27 million armed forces personnel in our world today. And currently, right around $2 trillion is spent on defense spending across our world. Today, the United States is by far the largest investor in defense, with close to $800 billion invested this year in defense alone. And most people are saying that we'll be at $1 trillion in defense spending over the next 5 years. $1 trillion. In the history of America, there have only been, do you realize this? We've only had 15 years in our entire existence as a country that we haven't been at war. Only 15 years spread out across the history of our country that we have not been at war. Contention, strife, fighting, and war are a devastating reality in our world, aren't they? And by the way, law and authority, war is necessary, sadly, until Jesus comes again. It's a necessary part, heartbreaking part of the world in which we live. But he says here, did you see that passage? He says when Jesus, or this section, he says when Jesus comes again, every boot that a soldier straps on, every garment stained in the blood of someone who's been killed in warfare, all of that will be used as fuel for the fire. In Isaiah chapter 2, but right before this earlier in the book, he says that they will beat their swords into plowshares and their hooks and these weapons of warfare into elements of agriculture. When Jesus comes again, there'll be no more war, no more fighting, no more pain. Christmas means that you and I, we can have peace with God. Isn't that good to know today? Do you want peace with God today? The only way to have peace with God is through Jesus, through His sacrifice for us. His coming, dying for our sins, and being risen from the dead, and our submission to Him as King of our life. The scripture tells us that we are enemies. Did you realize that? Of God, apart from Jesus. But we are reconciled. Those who were far off are reconciled to Jesus through His precious blood shed for us. So Christmas means that we can have peace with God. But Christmas also means we can have peace with man. Because ultimately, God's in control of all things, isn't He? He rules and overrules. Yes, we make real decisions that matter. There are so many broken relationships and divided homes and divided situations and divisive things in our world. But whenever you're walking in the Spirit of God, it says that the Holy Spirit of God brings a loving unity among the people of God and the body of Christ. And so this Christmas, if you're lacking peace, we have a wonderful Prince of Peace, don't we? Named Jesus. That will give you peace if you'll come to Him with it. Oh, peace will conquer madness. And fourth and lastly today, we see here that Christ will ultimately conquer wickedness. Won't He? All the wickedness in our world, Christ will ultimately conquer. And this might be the most famous passage in the Old Testament, other than Isaiah 7, where he says, Emmanuel, that name, God is with us. But right here, we have those names that fill so many of our Christmas carols, right? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. That is His name, if you will, the names of God. And whenever we see these different names of Jesus in the scripture, it's synonymous with His character, isn't it? What God is doing is He's revealing to us the very character and nature of Jesus Himself through these names. And who He is in our lives and what He does for His children. What does the scripture tell us? Ultimately, in the name of Jesus, there's a whole lot of awesome stuff, right? There's salvation in His name. Amen? There's salvation in the name of Christ. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever will call upon His name will be saved. There's salvation in His name. There is provision in His name. Jesus said, whatever you ask in My name, believing you will receive. Whatever that need is, just seek Him first. Come to Him and ask, and He will provide as we put Him first. So there's provision in His name. There's healing in His name. Psalm 103 says one of the benefits of knowing the Lord Jesus is He heals all of our diseases, even in death for the child of God. It's ultimate healing because He's conquered sin, death, and the grave for us by His coming and His death and His resurrection. And so also in this passage, look at what He says today. Listen close. This is what Christmas is all about. He came to give us these things. And to invest into mankind and to draw us to Himself in love. He is our wonderful Counselor. There's wisdom in His name. If you lack wisdom this Christmas season, Christmas means there's wisdom available when you seek Christ and seek His Word. Okay? So He's our wonderful Counselor. He is Mighty God. Hey, there's power in His name. Whatever chains you need broken in your life, whatever strongholds are in your family or in others around you, there is power in the name of Jesus, as we sang this morning. great power in His name. So pray and call on His name and trust in faith that when you speak the name of Jesus, that all of heaven comes to your aid. So there is power in His name. There is great peace. We already talked about that, right? Prince of Peace. There's great peace in His name. Don't be anxious. We talked about this last week. Don't be anxious, Philippians 4, 6. But through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That peace that passes all understanding. There's peace in His name. But also here it says everlasting Father. There is incredible grace in the name of Jesus. Grace. For Jewish people to call God their Father before Jesus came on the scene and said, pray in this way, our Father who art in heaven, that was unheard of. It was considered irreverent to speak of God in such personal terms. But Jesus, Christmas means that Jesus came to bring us into a personal relationship with God. And by the way, the Pharisees and Jewish religious leaders in the Old Testament missed it. It's always been about that. It's always been about a loving relationship with God through the seed of Abraham to come, through the Messiah to come, through the one who would come as a Nazarite and be born in Bethlehem and raised in Galilee and begin His ministry there. It's through Jesus. There's grace. Today, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter the sins in your past or the brokenness of your present, today you can come to Jesus and He will receive you with arms of love and of grace. Grace. Do you need the grace of God today? He is our everlasting Father. Just call on the name of Jesus and He will fill you with His love and His grace, His compassion. That's the kind of God we serve. Christmas means the best days are yet to come. So do you know Jesus? Do you have that relationship with Him? Have you submitted to Him as King of your heart? That's what it means to be saved. Not living for me anymore. Jesus, I'm surrendering to You, to Your Lordship. And if so, children of God, are we spreading hope this Christmas? Or hate? Are we spreading love? Are we spreading condemnation? Are we spreading the message of the gospel? Yes, we're all sinners. But oh, we have a wonderful Savior who came and died, rose from the dead, and is inviting anyone and everyone into a relationship with Him.